Thank you, Luke and the team, and a very warm welcome to everyone this evening. Pain and meaning. So imagine with me that this side of the scale represents pain and that side represents meaning. Now, most weighty decisions in life bring a combination of pain and meaning. Let me give you some, and I suggest to you that the joy of contentment is known to a soul when the overall meaning in their life is greater than the pain in their life. So just to explain that one more time, I suggest to you that the joy of contentment is known to a soul when the overall meaning in their life is greater than the pain. So we're all weighed down with pain, but the weight of the meaning, we need more meaning than pain in our lives. Now let me give you some examples of the correlation between pain and meaning. A mother decides to go through the pain of pregnancy in order to experience the meaning of bringing a child into the world, as Lo knows very well. And the child's parents then go through the pain of appropriately raising that child so that they might have a meaningful life when they become an adult. As a student, that child might decide to go through the pain of learning in order to gain meaningful knowledge, and the pain of studying for assessments for the meaning of receiving a qualification. And as an athlete, they might choose to go through the pain of training for the meaning of reaching their peak. As the famous phrase goes, no pain, no gain. And later in life, they might go on to work painfully long hours while knowing the meaning of providing for a family of their own. And so the list could go on of the correlation between pain and meaning in life. The joyful contentment often means choosing greater levels of pain in the hope of achieving greater levels of meaning. On the other hand, if the pain outweighs the meaning in our life, it might be time for us to make a few changes. As we come to the first 10 verses of chapter 6 of Paul's first letter to Timothy, we find an exhortation to press through the difficulties of life in order to walk in true Christ-centered contentment. And what a wonderful privilege it is that we've been offered this gift of being able to walk in Christ-centered contentment. And 2 points we will be considering this evening are finding Christ-centered meaning in unchosen circumstances, and then the second point will be choosing true meaning over unnecessary pain. And so firstly, finding Christ-centered meaning in unchosen circumstances. The first 2 verses of chapter 6 deal with slaves or bondservants, depending on your translation, your Bible translation. And it's worth noting that there were about 50 million slaves in the Roman Empire. And scholars estimate that up to a third of the population of Ephesus, which was Timothy's city, as we well know by now, might have been slaves. So one in every three people in the city would have been a slave. And it's very likely then that within the Ephesian church, there would have been both slaves and slave owners, like Philemon was in the Colossian church. Most slaves at this particular time in Roman history were well treated by their masters, and it certainly wasn't like that in every era of Roman history. We know that sometimes slaves were treated very badly, but at this particular time, slaves were generally treated very well by their masters. And yet, as implied by Paul's 1 Corinthians 7:21 encouragement to slaves to avail themselves of the opportunity to gain their freedom if possible, it was, of course, better to be free than to be a slave, even though the poorest people had less security than many of the slaves. Nonetheless, freedom wasn't always a possibility. And the question then became how slaves should conduct themselves as Christians. For them, the correlation between pain and meaning, I'm going to leave this because it's actually just distracting me a little bit, but hopefully you get the point. So the correlation for a slave between pain and meaning was not determined by their own choices. And in their case, Paul exhorts them, the slaves in Ephesus, to find meaning in their unchosen and potentially painful circumstances by honoring their masters, not necessarily because their masters were worthy of honor as such, but because the slave was an ambassador of Christ. And that's an important theme that runs throughout the New Testament, that we are to honor those in authority, not necessarily because they're worthy of our respect and honor, but because we're ambassadors of Christ and we need to set a good example. Nonetheless, we're not slaves. There's no one in this room, as far as I know, that is a slave. Perhaps the contents of these verses make more sense to us in the context of contemporary employment. So although we're not slaves in Ephesus, many of us would be employed by employers. And there's some similarities as we consider these verses. And for some of us, your vocational work might not be the most enjoyable. And you might even wish that you were otherwise employed. And further, you might feel financially trapped in some way into working with a particular boss or manager that you don't really want to work with. And yet, regardless of our circumstances, we're called to honor those around us because we are ambassadors of Christ. In doing so, the meaning of our situation begins to outweigh the pain as we see Christ at work in and through our circumstances. Perhaps our circumstances in themselves don't feel greatly meaningful, and perhaps there's great pain attached to them, but as we see Christ beginning to flow through us, as we represent him in the dark world, we begin to see meaning, not because of our circumstances in themselves, but because of who Christ is through us into our circumstances. And that said, if there are those in church this evening that are really struggling with the employment that you're in, I'd encourage you to come for prayer. We'd love to support you and pray with you in those things. But it's also worth evaluating whether the pain in your life is indeed outweighing the meaning. And if that is the case, just as Paul encouraged the slaves to accept their freedom if it came their way, if the opportunity for them to become free was an option, they should take it. So too, for some of us, if an opportunity to change our vocation comes our way, it might be a good idea to prayerfully consider those things so that in our lives We know that the meaning is outweighing the pain. Let's move on to the second point, which is choosing true meaning over pain. We all want to know contentment, and we all want to know that the meaning in our lives outweighs the pain. Yet, how often do we strive for contentment by trying to earn more money or discover new sources of worldly happiness? Even as Christians, I think that we do this. Many of us try all sorts of things to get life's meaning to outweigh the pain, thinking that more pleasures and opportunities will equate to greater meaning. And so we add possessions, vacations, we seek promotions, we search for meaning in relationships, additional qualifications. And according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 3-5, we might even add theological dissensions because we think that there might be some hidden meaning in disagreeing with sound doctrine. And I've had conversations with folk in my life who rigorously disagree with parts of the Bible, and you wonder whether their disagreement is rooted in anything that they really believe or just wanting to make a noise. Now, even good things can quickly lead to discontentment. It's wonderful having a young child in the house, Isaiah. And one of the wonderful things, it's not always wonderful. One of the wonderful things is feeding him new food. He loves his food. The other day, he tasted some dates for the first time. And I know you get bad dates, but you also get really good dates. And he loved the taste of the date. And he wanted more. All of a sudden, he moved from this place of sheer joy at experiencing a new food to a place of discontentment because he wanted more of something he didn't know existed 5 minutes ago. And I think that we're sometimes the same. We feel discontented because we don't have which we didn't previously know even existed. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying good things in measure, but instead of frantically adding worldly things to the meaning end of the scale, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6-7 tells us what it is. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. If this is true, perhaps we find life's true meaning by taking everything off the meaning end of the scale and simply finding our meaning in godliness. So we replace everything else with godliness. The truth of the matter is this: the closer we are to God, the more we live for Him and obey Him and reflect Him to the world, the more meaningful our lives will be. On the contrary, searching for meaning in the things of this world just leads to pain, as we're sharply reminded of in 1 Timothy 6, 9-10. But those who desire to be rich, yes, financial riches, but riches in all of these ways that we've considered, fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Whenever we pursue the things of the world instead of the meaning that God would have us pursue, we are essentially pursuing destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Friends, for the meaning of life to outweigh the pain, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and not on the things of this world. I close by reading a prayer that is found in Proverbs chapter 30, This is verse 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord. What an interesting thought in this prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but let us find our meaning in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, as we open our hearts to you this evening, there's a deep sense in each of us that we want to live meaningful lives. Lord, we recognize that pain is associated with pursuing meaning. And when we give up one thing for another thing, it's often painful, and yet you've called us to give up everything and to follow you. Lord, in some ways that does feel like a painful thing to do, but it's ultimately the very best thing we can ever do. And so, Lord, show us what it means to wholly find our meaning in you and not in the things of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.